Got it. Keeps it warm at night because the desert is very cold, right? Keeps it warm at night. And what do you think it will do other than the warmth?
Light. Provide light.
That's right. A pillar of fire as a huge, ginormous flashlight for the Israelites when they're walking and traveling at night or just camping at night, right? They need this. So God provides the pillar of cloud for the morning and obviously the pillar of fire at night. And that was a miracle because that doesn't happen. In case you guys haven't noticed around us, we don't see pillars of fire just following us, right? So we're going to get into this today, okay, and see what this miracle is all about. I have it here. I always try to, like, this is like my condensed summary of what this is. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but this is what I came up with. His mercies are your miracles. His mercies are your miracles. Why do I say that from this? And we're going to go through this passage today and see how his mercies are your miracles. Okay. I'm not going to use this to zoom in a little bit. Yeah. Bigger. Okay. All right. Can somebody read Exodus 13, 21 to 22 for us? Anybody online here? So we didn't even mention how the cloud led them to not only to provide shade, but led them. Okay. So somebody read Nehemiah 9:18-19. Everyone okay here there? Someone read Nehemiah 9:18.
Even when they had made for themselves a golden calf and said, "This is your God who brought you up from Egypt," and had committed great blasphemies, you, in your great mercies, did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud to lead them in the not to part from them by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, light filling the way by which they should go.
Thank you. So this is one of the cases where the Bible interprets Bible. Nehemiah, the prophet, tells us why this came about, right? It is because God, his great mercies did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud led them and did not depart from them. And that's the whole passage. I was like, should I get more, create more, look for more? No, this was it. This is, we're done this morning, right? Because this is one of those instances where you don't need commentators. You don't need a pastor or a teacher to tell you. If you're just reading it, you're like, wow, God just told me, right? The miracle was in a form of mercy. Nehemiah tells the reader that this miracle is a direct result of God's mercy. I'll go back to the meaning of mercy later, but the question is, have you thought about God's miracle package as mercies that you have received in your life? Like, I never thought about that. I always think that miracles are, hey, I need something. I want something that's incredible. So I ask God, But I never thought about it in the form of a mercy. Because if I said, have you had mercies in your life? Have you received mercies in your life?
Yes, I have.
Okay, all right.
Has anyone else? I don't know. Your yeses?
Yes.
Yes. That's a very obvious. Everyone should say yes. Yes.
Everyone should say yes.
What are we doing here?
Give me, what's a form of mercy? What's a form of mercy? Like, if I'll share an example, right? So a mercy would be like, gosh, when I when I was driving really fast before, okay, and one of the things that what happened was that I was in college and my car was stolen. My car was stolen. And I was like, this is not good. I do not like it. I went up to, Pastor Alex, remember, I was walking with another roommate of ours, and we're walking to a friend's house, and I parked, we drove there, parked it there. And then after we came down from his apartment, and I was walking around, and I said, hey, bro, can we park here? He says, yeah. I said, I think it's the next street. And then we went to the next street. I said, no, I think you parked back there. I said, yeah, I parked back there. So we walked back and forth. And he says, bro, your car is gone. I said, what do you mean gone? He says, it got stolen because your car's too loud, right? It was a cool little Civic. And then fix it up.
Big exhaust.
It was fun. He says, yeah. Is gone. My life was falling apart at that time, right? Because what happened to this? And then a week, I think exactly 15 days later, the cops, they called me. They said, we found your car. I'm like, yes, you found my car. Oh, it's on Hollywood Boulevard on bricks, set on bricks. Why? Because they took the tires. They had nice rims. They took the seats. I think I had some racing stripe seats. And then, at that time, they took my racing helmet that I'm racing. They took my radio, of course. And that's big, right? And here's the thing that I did not expect them to take. They took my Bible. Oh, so these were Christian. Christians, right, that did this, right? Like, oh, I feel guilty. I got a recent Bible. They took my Bible, my Bible that I use, right? So I thought, okay, fine. Years later, I thought, why was that a good thing, right? It's probably God's mercy because I was too involved in that. I wasn't even studying. I was just too in tune to that, just the car. There's nothing else. And that was, if you can call it a miracle, now that I'm looking this, I don't know, a miracle, because God intervened. He took it away from me. And guess what? My focus, at least my addiction to racing cars ended that day. It didn't bother me anymore. I still like other cars. But as far as my whole being thrown into that particular project, it was done. I thought that was a miracle because I didn't try it. Obviously, I would not have stolen my own car and did that to my own car. So that was an intervention. That was a miracle. That was in the form of a mercy. He was merciful to me. He says he took it away. Anyways, there's many of these things. I'm sure if you guys can think about it, there's mercy. Sometimes you did something and you did not deserve mercy, but you received mercy. That's a mercy. Getting something, not getting what you actually deserve, right? And when you should be punished, but you weren't. That's mercy. Could that be a miracle? Could that be a miracle? Because God, in this instance, he led the Israelites out and he was merciful to them because he could have let them travel on their own without any.
Yes, really so interesting.
Lily, did you want to say something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was on mute. Oh,
that's okay. That's okay. Hey, no problem.
Okay, I guess
well,
I will.
You have to.
I guess mercy can be, I mean, not some, just like you mentioned, we did something and then we got the mercy. Well, and also there is another situation where it's got nothing to do with what we did or didn't do, but we still got the mercy, right? So is it like, I guess, we're basically talking about God's provision here, right? Like God provided cloud and fire.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I guess this week, my cloud and fire is mm-hmm. that because Lynette was sick the whole week, and then our day nurse came one day. She was already not feeling well, but she stayed the whole day, and then the rest of the week she was out sick. And so we would have gone without a nurse the whole week. But somehow there were other nurses that came to fill in. And so we ended up having nurse like the whole entire week, like nursing care to help with Lynette. Because of course she's not well and she's fussy. So that's God's provision to us this week.
Great. Amen. That's a great example, right? I tend to think many times the miracles are in these extravagant pillars of fire and clouds that we don't see in our own lives. But that is a miracle, right? Can I say that's a form of miracle, Lily, that in times of need that God provides, he intervenes with little mercies? He could have just left you alone. Left you alone, right?
Right. I mean, with the nurse shortage and all that, it's quite amazing that we had full coverage on the weekdays.
Right.
Yeah. So, and we have many instances of this, you know, with Lynette's case. And one of them is the formula shortage. Mm-hmm. We were on our last can of milk and, you know, we're trying to hunt down formula ourselves. One tiny tin of the formula she uses, because she uses a special formula, it costs $35. Mm-hmm. And that would have lasted her only like, what, two, maximum 3 days.
Right.
So it was very, very expensive. And of course, like hard to get. And but we started transitioning her onto real food blend, which was already a blessing, because the doctor said we can start talking about real food blend after 12 months. Well, we started transitioning her at 11 months. So you could say it's like at least 2 months in advance. And I was happy with that, because I obviously think real food is, you know, better than just milk all the time. But we still needed the milk because, you know, she's very, very sensitive. And so the transition took like more than 1 month for us to transition her. So I still needed milk. And as I was on that last tin, okay, of sample milk that we got from Kaiser, because we ran out, and I asked the Kaiser if they had a sample tin, and they had one left. So we were like we're halfway through that one tin, and then it all started pouring in. Boxes and boxes of milk came in. So it was like, you know, just at the last, it's almost like the last hour, it feels like, you know, and then God's provision poured in. And we had so much that I started giving them away. I saw a lot of moms, you know, that were crying out for help, because these are special sensitive stomach milk, right? So then I started giving them away. all good consultation.
Thanks for hearing, Lily. And these are miracles. Do we see them as miracles? I know it's hard to kind of attach miracles to kind of these daily provisions, right? Or daily mercies. But when I looked at these two verses together, it really helped me to appreciate perhaps that, hey, there's more miracles than we see or even acknowledge. Especially, look what Nehemiah says. Even when they made themselves a golden calf, said, "This is your God." So they are worshiping another God. Yet, God in his great mercies provided, did not forsake them. So even when we are, dare I say, as believers, worshiping a person or thing, because we probably don't do idol worship to the God of the woods or the God of the moon. But even if we are worshiping a thought or worshiping money, right? Or worshiping people, we're worshiping our career, whatever it may be, that God is, in his great mercies, still provide us with miracles. He does not forsake us. So how does this mercy look like? And even more of, I'll bring one single thought. How does this mercy look like according to this Bible? Other than the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. Okay, let's see. Throughout all their journeys, this is in Exodus 40. It's a summary of what has happened. We'll read it again. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So the cloud and fire did provide light and shade, but Exodus 40 is telling us something even greater, how God provided this mercy. He's telling us that it was actually their GPS, right? It was their GPS. It showed them where to go. I have a question. Okay, we'll read that later. How would a blind Israelite decide to move or stay put? If you were blind, if you were an Israelite in the camp, how would he know whether to move, right, or to go? I mean, to move or to stay? Just imagine you were there and you can't see, and I'm sure there were. How would you know when to go and when to stay, since you couldn't see the cloud and you couldn't see the fire? Oh, yeah, you're healing the rumblings. Okay, people are leaving. Well, hey, buddy, why are you leaving? Oh, we just saw the cloud move. Oh, okay. Right? That's probably pretty obvious, right? Okay. How would you decide to move or stay put today if you were blind in your own life? Let's say not even blind. How would you decide to move or stay put if you didn't see the cloud or the fire? How do you know where to go? How do you move in a direction in your life when you can't see the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud? just like that Israelite, how would you move? How would you move? So important, right? I ask this question all the time. How do I move? How do I move in my life, in my direction? Because we have to move. When do I decide to stay? I can't see it. I might as well be blind. I can't see it because I see no cloud. If I saw Jesus and Jesus says, and then I'm like, yeah, of course, easy. And then he's, and I'll be like, yeah. And then he does one of these things. Or he goes, you stay with me. I'm like, yeah, sure. Jesus, I'll stay. But I can't see him. I can't see them. There's no pillars for me. How do I move? I have a clue in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, by the way, this is right after 19, right? Verse 19, right? This is all the same passage, right? In your mercies, not forsake them. You gave them the cloud and you gave them the fire. And it, as a result of your mercy, you gave them your good spirit. Who's the good spirit?
But practically, I don't know the answer.
Like, practically, you don't know the answer. Okay. Right, but that's, yeah.
The answer is like, yeah, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you.
Okay. So why is it practically there's no answer?
It can still be hard to hear or it's hard to decipher.
Why is it hard to decipher? I agree with you.
Yeah.
But let's, you know, because this is part of our lives, right? I mean, that's why we're believers. And God says, hey, I gave you the good spirit, the Holy Spirit. Why is it so hard?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think, one, we're never, taught how to, or it's just we're looking at the wrong thing.
Okay.
We're not looking that way. We're wrong. We're distracted about other stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? How do you move? How do you decide to stay? You guys agree that it's kind of hard too for you guys? Is what Daniel shared?
You can use a service animal in the real practical world.
You can what?
Service animal.
Service animal. I see. So, yes, that would be, I'll take it. Yeah, if there was a, you know, angelic dog, you know, yeah. You just hold its leash and it just takes you where you want to go. Yeah, I'll follow. That's easy. Easier. It's something we can touch, right? Yeah. But we don't have a service animal, Auntie Kim. How do I move? How do we move?
If I think back to the times where I felt like my decision to, you know, whatever, make a move in life was led by God, for me, it kind of works with my personality. My personality is that I want to stay. I want continuity, stability, safety, familiarity, you know, that's my personality. So God works with that, at least for me, and he starts removing things that were my anchor.
Okay.
And then I know, okay, God really wants me to move because he doesn't want me to stay. That's the only way he kind of get through to me. Or I feel not just anxious or worried about something, but I become restless. And it's not like me to feel like I wanna chase something or like go after something. And so I know that that's the prompting of the spirit. So it's, for me, it's kind of the differentiating between my own, you know, feelings versus, wow, no, this feeling is coming from outside of me, or, you know, like not from me. And then tuning in and seeing where, you know, where he goes with that.
Yeah.
So that's how I've known when to move and when not to move, when I knew it was God and it was not.
Yeah, that's thanks for sharing. And guys, I don't know if you guys feel that way as well, and you're tuned in. We're not going to answer this today, and because we can't. It's actually a long, drawn out process. But what Daniel said, you know, kind of, he says, you know, we need to be taught. We want to learn this aspect of it. How do we? And this could be something, you know, that I want to learn it too. We can all learn it together. We want to know how the good spirit instructs us so that we can move in the right direction, because the Holy Spirit is a form of a mercy and a miracle, right? I should say he's the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us. We hear that all the time. Is miracle in itself. But it is because God did not forsake us. He's merciful to us. So he says, I'm not going to leave you by yourself, right? Right? I can't scroll up because I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You guys can just read that in John 14, right? I'm going to give you a helper. I'm not going to leave you directionless. This is a promise from, this is Jesus' own words. I'm not going to leave you directionless. I'm not going to leave you as if an orphan without a father, without a vision and without mission and just kind of living. It's a promise that we can claim. We say, he gave us a helper, right? He gave us the Holy Spirit because he's merciful to us, and so that we know how to move in the desert.
So I have like a question for you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you asked what was God's, you know, mercy, and yes, I agree. Like you said, the gift, like the best gift that God gave, and you're hinting right with Nehemiah, but you said, right, it was like, you know, God giving them the cloud, the pillar of cloud of fire, right? I'm wondering if actually the greatest gift that God gave them was himself, his presence, which is greater than the cloud and the fire, right? The question sometimes of how do we know how the Spirit is instructing us, because that's God, his presence, right? Is, I think when we look at the story of Israel, it's very reflective of our lives, right? They're very fickle, and they actually don't fully appreciate like God's presence, the greatest gift. And God's one thing, his like greatest request, you know, or greatest command of us is to love him, is to love that gift of himself, right? I think one of the things, at least for me, that I experience is when I struggle to identify the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's because I love too many things.
Okay.
I love too many other things, and I don't fully love God. I'm loving too many things. So those, you know, your heart goes to what you love and what you value. And when you love and value too many things, those things are what's calling out to you. And you can't hear clearly then the one you love the most, because you don't love him the most. You know, I think that's part of, and that's part of it, right? Because, you know, the greatest gift, you know, I think that is God's mercy. Like, you don't love me the most, I have to give you a very obvious sign, because you're not satisfied and loving me. You know, I'll have mercy. I'll give you like a very glaring indicator. Mm-hmm. And I think that's special. But I think ultimately God would say, if you would just love me and you value my presence with you, and I'm the one you love the most. That's why the word says, like, so don't love the things of the world. Don't love the world. Because when you love the world, you can't hear like the voice of the Father, the voice of the Spirit. Right.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Yes. What is the question?
The question was because you asked, like, what uh-huh. what was the gift that God, what's the greatest gift that God gave to them?
Uh-huh.
And I think the answer was, like, you know, the cloud, yeah. The fire.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, is that the greatest gift that he gave to them? Right? Mm-hmm. That is a great gift. Is that the greatest gift?
It was and wasn't. The cloud and the fire was God. It was his presence. That's the whole point. In fact, the Bible says that it was the angel of God. And we talked about the angel of God. It wasn't an angel. It was God's presence over the camp. That was his greatest mercy and his greatest miracle, is that God was with them even though they did not love God. But God chose to be with them. That's the greatest miracle. And we're experiencing that miracle today, because Jesus says, I will give you a helper. It's going to be in you. God's presence is in us for those who believe him. And that's the greatest miracle and mercy. All of this is tied together. It wasn't just that the cloud and the actual fire was actually neutral. It could have been actually the sun. God could have brought the sun down. You know, God could give them like many small lights, whatever it may be. It could have been a mirror. It was the actual fire in the cloud is actually neutral. They're just things. But it was that Yahweh, God, was in their presence. That's the greatest thing. Yes. And you know, mercy, we'll go back, is actually compassion. And that word, the Hebrew word, doesn't have a word for mercy or compassion. You know what word they use? It's womb, this very motherly imagery. We talked about, there's a lot of motherly imageries, right? Is mercy is the word womb in the Hebrew language. That's God's mercy. He's sustaining you even when you can't do it yourself. He's sustaining you, right? A little baby in the mother's womb doesn't even know he or she wants the milk, or wants the all the nutrients. That's God's mercy. Yeah, Stephen.
Yes, I just wanted to add on to what Pastor Alex is saying. I think, like, when you said that, like, the greatest miracle, the greatest gift is, like, God himself,
mm-hmm.
and also how, like, the Israelites, like, they don't really appreciate that.
Yeah.
As we have seen, like, throughout their history, it's, like, I think it's very similar to, like, us today, because even, like, our salvation, our, like, the fact that we're, like, justified, like, by his grace, and like our sins are forgiven, that is like a miracle in itself. And like, it's obviously God's mercy, because we deserve like hell and like eternal suffering and like
mm-hmm.
separation from God.
Right.
And like, I think for me, I like it took me so long to like really see that as like a miracle. Mm. Like, the fact that like we're even like we even have faith is like a miracle from God. And like, I don't think I've like really appreciated that until like pretty recently.
Okay.
I think like, yeah, it's just like, I guess agreeing with what Pastor Alex was saying.
Yeah, that's great. And how, what led you to kind of appreciate that miracle of faith? If you're able to share it, or if you want to share it, yeah.
I think like, for me, it was like really like studying like the Bible and like reading like Christian books, like specifically about like the way we're saved and like the process by which we're saved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's like a lot.
Sure, yeah.
Guess, but yeah, I think like once I really started like digging into like, okay, how is it that like we like who are dead in sin and like completely blind, like how did we like become alive and like our eyes are open and then we're able to like have things, like how did that happen?
How
it was like, yeah, when I started truly became like God's gift.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, there's a lot there too, right? But yeah, how did you even believe? I mean, there's, you know, how does this baby even survive, right? Is he like, hey, give me this, I want this, I need this. Is the baby directing? No. No, it's all in the form of mercy and compassion in the womb, right? In the womb of God. He is the one that's providing, giving, growing, even when you don't necessarily ask for it or want it. That's the miracle. We're still experiencing that today, like what Stephen was saying. That is the miracle. I have a homework on an honor system. I know you guys don't want homework. You guys in summer vacation, the last thing you guys want to do is do homework. But if you can take this week and you can ask yourself, what are three mercies that you received in your life? Kind of think back to that mercy that you received in your life and identify that and play that process out and see, is that a miracle? Was that a miracle? And you can, you know, you write it out. Usually, you know, just it'd be helpful to write it out. Identify three mercies in your life that you've experienced and see how, if you can identify those three mercies as miracles, interventions from God. And those are three miracles that you probably would have received from God and actually know. And it's a testimony that you can give to others that I experienced miracles from God. If you can't think of anything, you can start with your faith. You know, just believing in Jesus, right? Stephen just told us that's a miracle in itself. Yeah. Write it out. We may or may not share next week, but write it out. Write it out on your phone. Write it out on paper, your journal, if you have one. Write it out. Cool. You guys got any other comments, questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I guess like you were talking about how like I guess today we're like dwelled by the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
by the Spirit. I guess for them, would you say like the Spirit was like it's like more like outside of themselves, you know? Like maybe like you were saying, like I don't know if you or maybe I just didn't understand, but like are you saying like the Spirit was like literally like the cloud and like the fire, or was that like?
Good question. A lot of scholars don't know, and there's no specific answer to that. However, the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire was the presence of God. And some even say that was pre-incarnate Jesus. Again, this is alluding to that one day God will be amongst us. And Jesus was amongst us, right? So, but that was the presence of God. And where the presence of God is, you have the Trinity there. You have a Spirit, and Jesus was there too because they're one. So it's the presence of God. And how that really plays out, again, this is the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's a beautiful story. It all points to Jesus. So whenever, even in the Old Testament, it's telling you about Jesus. God is saying, this is what I'm going to do. It's all going to lead up to my son dying for you so that I will be with you always. And now that Jesus is in heaven, how is God with us always? Is the Holy Spirit in us. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of the story is Jesus amongst us, with us, God with us. Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
It's always that story. It's never changed. So, and that again, that's the miracle, is that God would actually live in us. Like, why would he, right? Even when, honestly, we're back to what Pastor Alex was saying, sometimes I don't even want him. Sometimes I want something else. Many times I love other things, but God still chooses to live in us. Whew. if he chose not to live in, if it was based on what I like, there's no way God would even live. He's like, oh, I don't want you. And God says, then you won't have me. I won't even be amongst you because you want the golden calf. I'll go to whoever wants me. There's a miracle there. Yeah. Yeah, good question, Stephen. Hi, Scott. Hi, Jay, Lily, Wendy.
Hi, Frank. Hey, Frank, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
After saying earlier that your car was stolen when you were like, in college.
Yes.
Did the Lord bring you another car that wasn't quite so fancy? And was it a blessing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How did it all work out?
I got a green Accord. That was not fancy. Oh, you know, I was thankful, but it was nobody wanted that car. No one wanted to steal that car. That color was out of fashion. Yes, that's a good question, Scott.
That's God's mercy.
Yeah, that's God's mercy. And that just, you know, I'm like, okay, I get it, God. You don't want me to focus on this. This is the vehicle. I'm going to just not put my energy into it. Put my energy into something else. Okay. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for thank you for your mercies every morning, new mercies every morning. If it weren't for your love for us, we would be forsaken and lost in our own ambitions, in our own directions, in our own sad stories. But Lord, you brought us into your family, and knowing our quirks, knowing our shortcomings and our faults and our struggles, you still decide to live in us, and your presence continue to work with us. Your presence is still in our families, your presence still in our jobs, in our schools, in everything we do, because your Holy Spirit is with us 24/7, and you continue to want to give us direction. You continue to want to shine light into our footsteps. Lord, help us to love you more. Help us to rein in our attention from other things and other people, and direct them to you first. And only then can we really begin to be satisfied with you alone, the greatest gift. We thank you that you are so compassionate and so patient with us, that no matter what, you will, we trust and we know and we believe, we have faith that you will lead us through this journey. And the story is not over, and that we continue to walk, and you continue to work with us until we see you. We thank you for this miracle. We thank you for the miracles that we don't even feel, or we don't even acknowledge, we don't even see. We thank you for those mercies that we receive every day. Thank you so much. We pray all this in your precious name. Amen. Amen.